Lecture A is on exhaustive and non-exhaustive algorithms without resampling. I do the first part, and then Garth will do the final third. Just sharing the screen. And starting with motivating a little bit on the flavor, actually, of the statistics in practice short course. It is clear that there is a lot of uncertainty that comes with data, and there is, unfortunately, in practice, in statistical practice, too many who just solely use one single method to determine the optimal model. And we strongly advocate, certainly, to not treat model selection or statistical modeling just as a black box approach. It is much more than just having one way to identify, for example, what are the important features in a data set, what are the important features that drive prediction qualities, and so on. Acknowledging that there are a lot of philosophical issues, we regardless understand that there is a necessity to select models, no matter these philosophical issues around whether or not a single model or several models is the way to go. There's certainly a myriad of model and variable selection methods out there. Many are based on the log likelihood, the residual sum of square, minimizing prediction errors, using resampling, and so on. We have a number of motivating questions underpinning this statistics in practice workshop. The first is how to practically select model or models. How to cope with an ever-increasing number of observed variables? Not necessarily in the sense that the number of variables is larger than the sample size, which is a specific and, of course, highly researched topic, but also just what do we do if the number of variables is a bit large and some of the methods simply don't work from a computation time point of view? How do we visualize what is going on in the model building process? Everyone knows scatter plots, everyone knows box plots, but how do we convey how strong a model is graphically? How do we assess the stability of a selected model, and in what way do we then interpret what that does that mean in practice when we say a model is more or less stable? So these are a couple of the motivating questions. We don't claim we will thoroughly answer all of those, but these kind of questions are certainly questions that motivate our own research. So in this A1 section, I focus on selecting models, getting everyone on board, likely where there is some knowledge. So using stepwise model selection methods, using information criteria such as the AIC and BIC to select models. And then we touch on exhaustive and non-exhaustive search algorithms. We just have a simple data set for this first part, known as the body fat data. The actual data set has 252 observations. We reduce it down to a training sample of size 128. The data set that we use here is part of the mplot package. The original data is available in the MFP package. Using the one in the mplot package, it's called body fat, and if we look at how large it is, we see it has 128 rows and 15 columns in total. We want to analyze body fat to understand fat content in the body, using here a total of 13 available explanatory variables. Most of those are circumference measures, but there are also other information there, such as the age, the weight, or height. There's also a row identifier, and that is just something to point out when we analyze real data, that often there are such variables in there, and we need to ensure that we remove variables that do not really aid in explaining the response. So we will do that immediately and then just work with a data set that has one response and 13 explanatory variables. When I say here 13 or 14 explanatory variables, that's just indicative of the fact that sometimes the intercept is subject to selection, sometimes it is not. We're not going to go into any detail here in this workshop, which is force the intercept to be part of all models. Also because for those of you who know much more about the role of an intercept, it has the ability to absorb some part of the bias that can be when analyzing real data. So looking at the box plots for the data, just visually inspecting in terms of the marginal empirical distributions, we don't see anything that sticks out, which is not a bad thing. So marginally, we wouldn't say there are any concerning outliers in there. Things don't need to look normal distributed at all, because a normality assumption in terms of regression, we really pose only on the residuals and not on all the other components. We just observe what we observe, and sometimes having no conclusion is not a bad thing, as is here the case. Looking at pairwise comparisons, we get to understand what the correlation structure looks like, in what way individual variables do explain our response body fat. And if we just go through here the first row, we know that certainly APTO is quite highly correlated with body fat, visually certainly the most highly correlated. And so I would expect, if you would try to find the best model with one explanatory variable, that any algorithm would determine that model to have APTO as the explanatory variable. We see other things in terms of how variables are correlated. We observe here with weight, that certainly weight is highly correlated with a number of other explanatory variables. And so as we start digging into that data set, we would expect to see a little bit of instability likely, including or excluding weight simply because of its strong association with APTO and with HIP. And let's wait and see whether or not that will be the case later. We also check the things that shouldn't be correlated are actually not correlated. And one variable that shouldn't be correlated with height is age, and we just visually see that this is the case here. Again, we may not identify anything too strange. The issue, one particular issue in terms of selecting features in data, are influential points, sort of outliers in the X space. And while there are points such as this point here being a bit removed, I don't think in terms of having 128 observations, this is too much of a concern here. But of course, there's a lot of research, again, out there exploring robust approaches to model selection, but that is not part of this statistics in practice workshop. The full model has a total of 13 slopes and an intercept, a total of 14 regression parameters. And if we think how many potential submodels there are, then the power set is exactly the name for such a collection of sets. So there will be a total of 2^13, so just over 8,000 different regression models that we can fit. And that doesn't take into account, of course, that we could include interaction terms and very different combinations of explanatory variables. But again, we don't go there at this point. So we just focus on having a data set where we don't make up new explanatory variables for the sake of simplicity and time. The best bivariate model, we saw that visually. And so if we code this up, so the LM function, the response variable, we model it by apto. The data frame is called BFAT. We just look at the summary. So M naught denotes the best bivariate model here. We see a few things, and I just want to highlight it. So everyone listening to this recording, you should keep that number, this standard error for the slope estimate for the regression coefficient estimate for apto. Here is 0.039. So keep that number in the back of your mind, because I want that you remember this. And also remember that the adjusted R squared is around 70%. So that is the best bivariate model. If you look at the full model, so using all 13 explanatory variables, we get, of course, for each of the features, an estimated regression coefficient value and associated standard errors. And let's go to apto again, and we observe here that its standard error is suddenly much larger. So you were supposed to remember the number 0.039, and we observe this is 4 times as large, which is a bit strange maybe to some, but there is theoretical justification for this. This typically happens when correlations are quite rich in its structure, and that was certainly evident from looking at the scatterplot matrix. While the adjusted R squared is marginally higher, so it is around 3% higher than for the best bivariate model, this model here at the level of the adjusted R squared does explain more about the variability of the response variable than just a model with one variable only. There are indicators that suggest the full model is too large. One indicator is that the only significant partial p-value is for apto. All the others are large, and again, this is the case mainly because of the rich correlation structure. So we just overfit, and as we pull that back a little through various ways, we will observe that these numbers will dramatically drop and the standard errors are much more comparable. Most of us know the AIC and BIC. So two information criteria that are in a way a bit related to the adjusted R squared, mainly because if we work with normality assumptions for the errors, then there is a link between the log likelihood and the sum of square term. And so they share in a way that the way we measure the loss for a particular model at the core is just learning from the residual sum of square value, and then we penalize it. Very differently for the adjusted R squared, not in the form of a loss plus a penalty, but most information criterion that are used sort of fit into this structure of the loss plus penalty. For the AIC, we penalize for each variable P in the model by 2, and for the BIC, we penalize not by a constant, but we penalize by a function of the sample size, so by log n. But highlighting, they really only differ in the way we penalize for the size of the model. So both have the basic quality that the smaller the information criterion, the better the model. In order to identify models that are best really fast, there are various algorithms, and most of us are familiar with stepwise type algorithms. I just want to briefly highlight what the quality of stepwise like procedures are. The main quality really is that they are fast. They are fast because the way the algorithms are constructed, they need at most a quadratic number of models, quadratic in terms of the number of features in the full model. They only need to visit a quadratic number of models, and that is from a computation time consideration absolutely manageable. We typically start with a entry model, so it can be the null model, it can be the full model, it could actually be any model. And then we go through the following steps. For each variable in the current model, we investigate, can we actually remove it? We remove the least informative variable, unless this variable is nonetheless supplying significant information about the response. And then doing the opposite, for each variable not in the current model, we investigate the effect of including it. And if there's more than one in a particular run, we include that variable that is the most statistically significant. And then we iterate through things here until there are no changes. So in R, stepwise procedures can be done with a number of functions, but there's a step function. The step function has the following structure. So we pass on the starting model, then we indicate through a list what is the scope of the searching algorithm. So what is the smallest possible model that we would consider? In this case, M0 stands for the intercept only model. So the null model, what is the largest model that we would consider? In this case here, it is the full model. And in terms of coding up full models rather than specifying each feature in R, there is this beautiful shortcut of just having a dot, meaning that all variables not used in the data set are considered as potential explanatory variables. Using such a shortcut, it is absolutely crucial that variables such as row identifiers and other additional information is removed. Then there are different ways to implement stepwise procedures. There's a way to just go forward all the time or just backwards all the time. So jumping either step 2 and 3 or alternatively step 4 and 5. Or there is the default direction, which is both ways. Trace is just a parameter that tells us how much output would be generated by this function. And then we need to specify the penalty. So I go back. So we need to specify the penalty multiplier. If we specify log n, then we implement BIC. if we specify two, then we would implement the AIC. We want to forward search using BIC, so we specify the direction to be forward, and we specify the penalty multiplier to be the log of n, which in this case is 128, the log of 128. If you actually calculate what that number is, then that number is 4.85, so more than double the AIC penalty. It is actually not too far away from a corresponding, what we call the a test penalty, if you were to use a p-value based search strategy. The penalty multiplier that corresponds to adding and deleting using a type 1 error of 0.05 would correspond to a penalty value of 3.84. And 3.84 is actually the 95% quantile of a chi-squared distributed random variable with 1 degree of freedom. So think a little bit about this if you have heard this just now for the first time. So p-value based procedures could be implemented by just choosing a penalty multiplier here that in this case would be just a bit smaller than the BIC. In any case, we see that the best forward BIC model has two variables, apto and weight. It has two features. It's larger than the best bivariate model. And coincidentally, if you were to search backwards using the BIC, this would give the same model as this one here. That is not necessarily the case. So there are other data sets where a forward search using the BIC would give a different model than a backward search using the BIC. But in this case, they coincide. Want to go a little bit faster. If we were to implement a backward search using AIC, we would specify the value to be 2. We would, in this case here, find a larger model. It has 4 variables, weight, neck, apto, and 4. And it gives a larger model because the penalty multiplier, which is 2, is considerably less than 4.85. The default of the step function is implementing stepwise. In this case, if you do stepwise AIC, we get the same as backwards AIC. Again, this may or may not be the case in other data sets. Here it gives us a sense of the sort of a little bit of stability in this particular, from this particular viewpoint. So why don't we simply do stepwise procedures? While they are widely used, there are many practitioners who also criticize those strongly. I think the biggest issue really is it is often used as a black box sort of panacea way of selecting models, and it almost always doesn't reveal enough about the data. So there are just intrinsic issues. Other issues relate to that standard errors change dramatically, particularly when things are highly correlated and models of different size are considered. So it just needs to not be used as the only go-to way of selecting models. Very different to a stepwise approach are exhaustive searches where we aim to identify models by actually considering every possible model in in the power set, for example, not necessarily actually calculating for each model a number, because they are smart algorithms that allow us to do optimal model selection, meaning that if you wanted to say something about the best model of size 2 or size 3 or size 4 and so on, there is no need to consider every possible model of size 2, 3 and 4 and so on. Exhaustive search is also known as best subsets model selection. The loss component is typically the sum of squares, so we stick to this here. Of course, the alternative to using RSS. The main drawback of exhaustive searching is it is computationally intensive. Even with smart branch and bound algorithms, it can still be unfeasible, particularly if the class of models is something else than just using linear regression models. For GLMs, it is considerably slower, for example, as we will see later in this workshop. The LM subsets package is a recent package that performs regression subset selection. There was a previous package, still very popular, the LEAPS package, which is a predecessor in a sense for LM subsets. The main function performs an exhaustive search, so the main function is called LM subsets, a capital S here. It uses an efficient branch and bound algorithm. There is a function LM select, that is the function that actually performs the best subset selection, whereas LM subsets generates the information to do best subset selection. As an input, it takes the full model, and we can specify a number of additional parameters. I just want to highlight some. So include and exclude to ensure that certain parameters are forced to be in the model or forced to be excluded from the model. We can bound the size of the smallest and largest model we are willing to consider. And also there's a really useful parameter nbest for the number of best subsets to report in each model size. There are a number of outputs that we can get, and particularly we can get AIC and BIC estimators for the standard deviation and R squared. There are also visualizations that go with it, and we'll encounter those just in a minute. So the LM select function is similar to the LM subsets function, but it helps the practitioner to choose a best model. It takes as an input, again, a full model, and importantly, in terms of specifying the criterion used to identify the best model, the penalty needs to be specified. The default penalty used is a BIC penalty, so it's just the opposite of what needs to be done in the step function, where the default is BIC and not AIC, whereas in the step function, the default is AIC but not BIC. We can actually code up a more general penalty function combining the size of the model and RSS, so we could code up manually finding the best model using an adjusted R squared type information criterion. So turning to the body fat example again, just coding up, making available all information using LM subsets. We just want the best model at each dimension. We don't specify what the largest possible model is going to be, so null. So don't put a limit on it. We don't force any variable to be included, nor do we force any variable to be excluded. And we get a bit of an insight here in terms of the RSS as we go from a model of size 2 and intercept plus a explanatory variable up to a model of size 14, we see that the RSS decreases in a monotone way. Of course, visually that would be much easier to be observed. And then there's a little bit of information on stability. So the intercept is included in all. APTO is included in all models of size 2 to 14, so very stably in there. We see that forehead is included starting from a model of size 5 and stays in there up to 14, whereas variables such as weight, I hinted that weight is highly correlated, particularly with hip. It enters for the first time when we have two explanatory variables. It then is not included in the best model of size 4 and then re-enters at 5 and stays until 14. So we can visualize this. And so just visualizing those numbers, again, let's go to APTO. We see APTO is in the model of any size, 2 to 14. Let's turn to weight. Weight is not in the optimal model of size 2 because APTO is. It then enters, it then disappears, and it then enters and stays. And we spoke about 4 just before, so I mentioned it enters at 5 and then it stays. So we see in this plot some stability information about when do variables enter and how long do they stay. And interesting, he is spotting the gaps, and there are actually 3 variables that show gaps. We can access much more information through the summary of a LM subsets object. And we also see here for the best model of size 2 corresponding information. For example, we can observe that just going down here, this column, the BIC column, that the smallest number is this number here. And then we see the largest number we would get for a model of size 14. Looking at the default plots we can get, here we visualize how BSC changes, and we just noticed before in terms of numbers that including 2 variables having with the intercept 3 regression parameters in total, we obtain the best model if you use the BIC. We see how the RSS decreases in a non-increasing manner. We can compare the BIC and the AIC model. So the default of LM select is BIC. If we want to specify something else, we need to change the penalty parameter here to AIC, and we observe how they differ. So they share weight, but the AIC has neck additionally, they share APTO, and also the AIC has 4 additionally. We could also just report the 10 best models. This is again, a different way of getting access to stability information. So if you use the BIC as a information criterion, if you just want to analyze a little bit, what are the 10 best models? If we just use the BIC, in what way do variables change? Where do we have areas of stability? Then this is what we get. So we already know the best is having a weight and APTO. It's interesting that the second best has weight not included, but then replaces it by by height and by hip, and so on. But what we certainly can recognize is APTO is in all the best 10, and there are additional variables such as weight, such as neck, such as hip, such as fore and wrist appearing. And on the left, we just see how the BIC criterion value actually changes. So that brings us to the end of the first third of lecture A. To recap this part, so we essentially learned four main things. Firstly, information criteria have often the form of a loss part plus a penalty part, and certainly the AIC and the BIC are two such criteria. We touched on stepwise procedures. They essentially are fast because they allow to calculate everything by just visiting a quadratic number of models the most. We then turned our attention to exhaustive procedures, and we rely that we have functions, R packages, and no matter what other software you use, that allow to essentially do exhaustive search, admittedly not necessarily calculating a number for every possible model in a power set, but in terms of the criteria that is used, such as an AIC or BIC, guarantees that for a model of any size, we can at least identify the best or a number of best models in each of those. And so we just saw here that the LM subsets package is one such package that does this really well.